It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
For the first good test they got from an opposing quarterback.
So it
being
sounds
legit.
Like you want the test. It sounds
yes.
like you want.
Well,
you,
I want there to be
you
something.
Want a challenge.
I'm really willing to risk the loss here. If at least it gives me a data point, or it gives them a data point, like we've got to actually open things up. We can't just try to D up on everybody and assume that that's going to work, and we're going to be able to win these ugly 13-6, 16-10 type of football games.
Because now, if it's Easton Stick, there's even more reason for the Steelers to continue to keep their offense in the garage.
They would just do the Bo Nix game plan. They would just try to harass the quarterback, although their running game is so much better that I think it would put them in favorable spots, the Chargers, that is. But they would still try to. I think Tomlin would say if it's Easton Stick, first team to 17 wins.
But you could completely sell out to stop the run if Easton
Stick
is back there. Now you at least have to be mindful of Herbert's ability to beat you with the fact that he can make every single throw that an NFL quarterback needs to make to win games.
I just think it would give them a false sense of security if they saw Easton Stick and they won again.
Donnie, you will be attending this game. You are a season ticket holder. You always get fired up for the opener. You and Kabali will have a fantastic pregame show, I do believe, before this game starts. If you get word Sunday morning from one of the big insiders, you get a notification on your phone, Justin Herbert is out for the Chargers, and it's their backup quarterback. What will your reaction be?
I'm thinking the Steelers should be bound to stack another win, go to 3-0. And listen, I know that it won't be the measuring stick game we were hoping for. There's no requirement if a team gets into the playoffs of, hey, well, we're going to go back to week three. Did you guys have to play Justin Herbert? Because if you had to play Easton Stick, we're going to leave you out. There's not like a committee as if this was college football. So you stack another win. I get it. We want to see if they can actually stack up with the Chargers, a team that looks like they will also be bound for the postseason. But, I mean, if you catch a break, you catch another break. They caught plenty last year, and I don't think anybody really cared to apologize as they snuck into the playoffs.
No one apologized, and it was cool that we got to watch an extra game. Like, I did enjoy the fact that we had an entire week of like some people trying to talk themselves into the weather and everything else, factoring in and the Steelers going to Buffalo and pulling off some stunning upset. That was, as a fan, it's entertainment at the end of the day. Like, that was fun. I did derive some satisfaction and enjoyment out of that. I can tell you that what Donnie says, like, when you so much of your life is dependent on your team's wins and losses, and your mood hinges a lot of the time on wins and losses, I would feel better having a win and then like having to either justify it or rationalize it after the fact than here comes Herbert and the Steelers lose a close game. And then what do we do then? We say, well, this is actually a good thing. They might have lost, but they went toe-to-toe with this team and this quarterback.
What if they go against Herbert and he like blows their doors off and then it's... Like, they go conservative early, they get down 10 or 14 to nothing, and they just have no answer. Then I would hope that would, like, set off massive alarm bells from Mike Tomlin, hey, I can't do this anymore against good teams.
Oh, but yeah, but that
But
would...
I think he's a super stubborn guy and would probably not even care.
Okay. Here you go again. You're like, you're trying to shoot down your own argument when you say something like that.
I say that, and it just, maybe I'm coming back around to I'd just rather them win because... I'd like to believe that if he got a harsh object lesson from a team like the Chargers and a quarterback like Herbert, even though they don't have really any great receiving weapons, that he would take that lesson to heart. But if Mike hasn't taken the lesson to heart when he's gotten smoked in the playoffs by guys like Mahomes and Josh Allen, I don't know what would ever convince him that his way, that he wants to win, has a very serious, like, ceiling that it hits.
If they beat Easton Stick, we know what the national and local questions will be. This team is 3-0, but are they for real? Are they a mirage?
Are you buying or selling? Are they a contender or a pretender? Right. Don't worry, the contender-pretender stuff's already out. They're squarely in pretender mode.
Now, were these pretender comments made after they watched Atlanta go to Philly and win, or
yes.
Is this pre?
No. This is post everything.
So they're getting very little credit for going to Atlanta, who went on the road and
nobody
beat Philly.
Buys them because they have a pop gun offense and a really good defense, but people wonder how long you can win with that. That's pretty much the gist.
But if the pop gun offense beats Justin Herbert because the defense is good and the offense doesn't screw it up, that is a feather in the cap of the pop gun offense. Right? That would be a nice...
It depends. Is Jim Harbaugh just immediately like neutering Herbert and also having him throw 20 times a game total because he does want to recreate Michigan?
Is he going to have the chart so far would tell you yes, but...
Is he going to run out and have them like hit a sign that says, "See, go blue, M Club supports you," or "Chargers Club supports you"?
I would think he's probably looking at the Steelers the same way he looked at the first two games. I don't need to score a bunch of points in this game. I just need to control the ball and not screw it up because...
I think Jim Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin...
He's totally comfortable with getting into the Tomlin-style of ball game.
I think they would both love it if this game was 9-6 and took 2.5 hours to play.
When you put it like that, you make it sound like Harbaugh might actually be giddy over the fact that Herbert doesn't play because that would give him even more of a reason to just commit and go all in on this rugged, kind of ugly style of football that they are capable of playing.
I mean, I just think both coaches actually right now at this moment in time want to be that team. They do. I actually think this is going to be a hell of a litmus test whether Herbert plays or not for the Steelers' defensive line and really their offensive line, but especially their defensive line, which has been pretty good and dictated terms to teams that for various reasons had major problems offensively when the Steelers saw them. And
yeah,
I think this is a team that wants to punch the Steelers in the mouth.
Yeah, I know. It does not feel like a litmus test game if before the game starts you need to like go to the Wikipedia page of the guy that's playing quarterback for the other team.
The pride of North Dakota State.
It does not feel like it's a litmus test when if it was a backup quarterback we had heard of.
If it's Easton Stick, though, it absolutely makes it a game you cannot afford to lose, no matter how good and physical the Chargers might be.
Well, that gets back to what I said. I don't think they can lose this game. I think it's that important of a game. So I would, for that reason, I think this game is going to determine if the Steelers make the playoffs or not. And because I'm putting that amount of importance on this game, I'm rooting that Justin Herbert ankle is like, trying to think of...
like a plum, like a big swollen purple plum.
But I don't think plums. I think plums are the size of a normal ankle.
So no, how I can't
like a
say
peach. A nectarine is a nectarine.
But it has to be something
that's
purple and ugly looking, like bruised, like a messed up looking eggplant.
Oh, we had eggplant parm the other night.
You
Thoughts?
A fan? I'm not a big fan of the humble eggplant.
Have you had it dressed up and sexed up as parm?
I have not.
Donnie, have you?
Can't say I have.
Any interest?
I mean, I'm normally willing to try stuff.
I mean, if you like, is it something like where if you do the breading and everything else, you could just treat it like fried zucchini, that kind of deal? Same consistency? Is it a member of the squash family? Like, what even is an eggplant supposed to be like?
Yes, I think it is a relative of zucchini and squash.
I'm not a huge squash guy.
So, essentially, if the way that Amanda makes it, it's basically like instead of using...
chicken.
Well, not only that, but instead of using, say, the... pasta that you would in a lasagna. Mm-hmm. She stacks the eggplant like she would lasagna, and then it's just cheese and breading and sauce and stuff, and it's pretty good.
How many eggplants does this take to do?
I think it takes several. I think it might take like 10.
10 eggplants?
Oh, yeah.
Is it healthy for you?
Eggplant?
Yeah.
It's a vegetable. Of course it's healthy for you.
Yeah, there's vegetables that aren't that healthy.
Like what? They say lettuce isn't healthy because it's mostly water, but I think
lettuce is really healthy. You know, Big Kale tried to go at, not burger, Big Kale the plant tried to go after iceberg lettuce and say that it wasn't healthy. It is.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Your heart care matters. Get your heart checked at UPMC Heart and Vascular Institute. Steelers are 2-0. Justin Herbert isn't healthy for the Chargers. That increases the Steelers' chances of becoming a 3-0 team. The last time they went 3-0, they made the playoffs. But they did lose at home to the Browns and got down on that game 28-0. But anyways, no need to bring the mood down here. Let's go out to the hotline and welcome in NFL on CBS reporter. She was in Denver on the sidelines for Steelers and Broncos. Aditi Kinkabwala, brought to you by Bet365. Aditi, I think the subplot to the game that from your perspective our listeners would be the most interested in hearing about is what went on with the offensive tackle situation, what you guys heard about their rotation going in, and then the way it ultimately played out with Troy Fautanu and Broderick Jones.
The plan was for the two to rotate. And look, this is a coaching staff that is unbelievably high on Troy Fautanu. And Arthur Smith, in fact, made the point to all of us that even though there are these, you know, essentially 2.5 rookies, you've got young guys in Zach Frazier, in Troy Fautanu, in Spencer Anderson, they played a lot of football in college. And he said, look, when Broderick Jones came here, he played exactly 12 games at Georgia. And we know that this is a position that takes time, that needs some seasoning, that in general, rookies are not starting right away. But clearly, they're very, very high on Broderick Jones. They felt strongly about him. It's just the Broncos actually play really good defense. And there wasn't a ton of room for error. And I think those three penalties so quickly just really frustrated Mike Tomlin. And when the other guy's playing really well, why do you keep a platoon just for the sake of keeping a platoon? But I don't think that this is gloom and doom in any way. I don't think, you know, I keep hearing people say, oh my goodness, is he in the doghouse? Is this the end? Is he a bust? I don't think that that's any of it. I think it was a bad day. That's it. And this is a guy that just doesn't have as much football under his belt as these other rookies and this other young player do.
I would argue as the world's biggest Broderick Jones supporter against him only in the sense that he has 10 starts at right tackle, which those other guys don't have. Like, he has more NFL experience, even if he had less college experience. But what I'm a little more interested in his particular case, Aditi, is how did he, like, you're on the sidelines, you're trying to track, you know, obviously you're seeing that he gets benched. From your vantage point, how did he handle that on the sidelines? Was he moping? Was he by himself? Was he trying to stay engaged? We know Russell Wilson, the emergency quarterback, is staying engaged. He's practically on the field. How was Jones after this actually happened?
Yeah, you know, I actually will disagree with you on that in some ways. And I'll tell you, very honestly, I was far more interested in what Justin Fields was doing. I was far more interested in the in what George Pickens was doing. I was far more interested in the conversation amongst the offensive players that were playing than I truly was. I didn't see anything extremely notable from Broderick Jones. I didn't see him hanging his head. I didn't see him behaving in any way that would create a scene or cause a problem. So I can't tell you.
Well, that answers my question.
When you are doing a broadcast and you're covering both teams and you need to kind of get the arc of the game, the offensive lineman who comes out, who is really only supposed to play half the time anyway, and the other guy's playing well, just doesn't rank as like, oh my gosh, let me see how he responds.
If there was
right
no noticeable blow up, that does answer my question, that he more or less handled it in a, you know, a manner that was unremarkable.
You did, though, just unsolicited volunteer something that I don't know if all of our listeners would say, well, that is something that they were mindful of or thinking about watching the game. And that's, you just shoehorned Pickens in there, because I think the quarterback thing everyone's thinking about, like Fields, how he's playing, how he's doing, the communication on the sideline, the wide receiver, I did not think from watching the game at home would have been maybe the pronounced storyline that you observed from being on the sideline, Aditi.
The Steelers are in a really tough position, and that is that they have one game breaker. They have one playmaking wide receiver. Now, I do firmly believe that Pat Freiermuth will once again become a target, especially in the red zone and especially after the conversations that we had. But right now, this is almost like when Arthur Smith was in Tennessee, and Tennessee had A.J. Brown, and that is it. And obviously, George Pickens is a guy. You know, it's funny, Justin Fields said to us that he doesn't know that he's ever met anyone more competitive than George Pickens. And he also called George Pickens crazy in the most wonderful and loving way. I mean, truly, he said it in a tremendous way. But George Pickens is a guy that you need to get involved, and you need to get involved often. And he also has a competitiveness that reminds me of AB, and hear me out on this. I remember having a conversation with Antonio Brown a long time ago where he said, I want the ball because I feel like every time I touch the ball, I can score and I can help my team. George Pickens is that kind of guy. George Pickens believes in himself and has confidence, unlike, as I just told you, Justin Fields said, anybody else that he's ever met. And it's funny, because I said that to Arthur Smith. I said, Justin just said that he's never met anyone as confident as George. Have you? And Arthur started laughing, and he was thinking about it, and he didn't really have an answer, and then Mike Tomlin walks in. And so Arthur says to Mike Tomlin, Aditi just said this, can you think of someone? And Mike Tomlin starts laughing, and he goes, oh, yeah. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's A.B. that he was thinking of, because remember, A.B. would run over his own mom to get into the end zone. So George Pickens I was very interested in because he had some plays that should have been monster plays.
Yes.
Called back by penalty by Broderick Jones, that we just mentioned. And I will tell you, I found it unbelievably impressive the number of Steelers players on both sides of the ball that just would routinely walk by George Pickens, pat him on the shoulder, do kind of a, for lack of a better phrase, wellness check, like, where are you? How are you? Like, that sucked, but all is good. And you could see palpable frustration, but I was impressed with the way he handled it. There was no like throwing of a helmet. There was no yelling at anybody. There was just, okay, I'm frustrated. I need to deal with this. And to me, that's an interesting sideline. Look, I've been told a lot that if George Pickens doesn't get the ball,
Do you think
there's always a chance that he's creating a scene?
Do you
so
think
I'm looking for a scene. There was no scene.
Do you think it's possible that one of the reasons there was no scene was because, like, on the Jones holding, he did get the ball. He made a great catch at the end of a great throw. It's different than getting, like, ignored in the offense if it's a penalty that wipes out a big play. He still, like, made the play, if that makes sense.
Maybe, but also, again, like I said, his teammates are making sure. His teammates read him well. His teammates know who he is. And his teammates are making sure that they know how that he knows they know how good he is, how disappointing that was, whatever it is. But I, you know, guys, like, I need to tell you, I was unbelievably impressed by Justin Fields. And I think that fans are so frustrated by what the production is. And it's interesting because Arthur Smith said to us in our meeting, we wanted to win ugly week one. And I know Fields was ripped for not throwing across the middle of the field. And Arthur said, I told him, you stay away from there. That basically, do not throw to the middle of the field because Arthur Smith wanted to take Jesse Bates out of the game.
Yep.
He didn't want Jesse Bates anywhere there. Well, guess what? The Eagles decided not to follow that. And what's Jesse Bates? The NFC Player of the Week. So maybe Arthur Smith knows what he's talking about when he says, we're going to do everything we can to keep the ball away from Jesse Bates. So similarly, this week, Justin Fields is doing, I mean, he walked into our meeting and he said, I don't want to give this position up. Of course not. And he said, I want to put up 30 points. I, whatever, all of those things. But despite that, he never got greedy. I mean, he is hungry to win this job, to not make it debatable, to make it absolutely adamant. I am the guy that you should stick with. The easiest way to do that is to light up the scoreboard. But when his coaches are telling him that is not the offense we want to run right now, that is not what we want to do, and he's following what they're saying. And I think as fans, sometimes you lose sight of that because you want to see the gaudy numbers. And the truth is, look, there were some plays that should have been slash plays if not for penalties, like that pass to Pickens. I was standing right there. If you go back and you watch the tape, I wonder if you could even see me. Literally, he was standing right in front of me. Gorgeous throw, gorgeous catch, gorgeous, I mean, just stunning.
Yep.
Justin Fields is a really, really, I'll use Mike Tomlin's word, he called him a dangerous, dangerous athlete. He's a guy that clearly feels he's got some things to prove. He is one of the first in the building, one of the last out. He is working to get better. And again, staying within what his coaches are asking him to do, even if it may be publicly to his detriment, I find very, very impressive.
You'll have a fun game this weekend. The Andy Dalton era in Carolina begins, and you are on that assignment with Bryce Young now.
I haven't seen some great offensive football yet, guys. Let me tell you. I mean, Broncos Seahawks week one, then Broncos Steelers week two, now Panthers Raiders. My goodness, I'm due.
enjoy Vegas. We'll talk again next week. See you, Dee Dee.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Save 50% on installation of Gutter Helmet during their fall sale this month only. 8885-HELMET is who you call today. That music in the background means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief, brought to you by Steel Mill Saloon in Mount Washington. And before Donnie cues it up, anyone else find it interesting that Aditi said, I disagree with you, Chris, and I don't even think there was anything to disagree on. She just said, I disagree, and I don't really know if there was an opinion by you. I think you asked a question. She disagreed with a question.
I thought I asked a pretty straightforward question, maybe not about, did you notice anything unusual after Jones got benched? Was he making a scene? We saw Russell Wilson, for example, very visible on the sidelines. Was Jones after he got pulled?
And she said, I disagree.
Yeah.
That was like when Starkey would, like, he'd ask a question and someone would be ready to answer it, and he would just say, I disagree, before the person even starts their answer.
Yeah, I always like that move.
He also pulls this. Has he ever pulled this one on you? He clearly asks you for your opinion. You state it like a quick opinion.
You're wrong.
He goes, wrong.
Or he goes, I wasn't listening. He does that a lot,
Well,
too.
He did that. It's weird. That's actually followed me to this show with you at times. Not as blatantly, but
with what?
You absolutely have admitted to me that, sorry, Malzi, I was not paying attention to you.
Yeah, but I think that's during a break. I think a not listening during the break is
Donnie,
not
he
as
has
egregious.
Said on the air multiple times, I'm sorry, Malzi, I got distracted. I was not listening
to you. He does do a better job. I'll give Pony credit here than what he does when it's off
Oh,
air.
During the breaks, I don't even talk to him anymore.
Where there are absolute walls put up.
The funniest part is he will ignore me, and then if I ignore him, I can feel him getting antsy that I'm not acknowledging whatever he's saying.
Are you doing that just to get payback?
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Donnie, what do you got for us today?
The debrief, September 18, 2024. I saw Jenna Harner put this out there this morning. It was around 11:15, so more than a few hours ago.
I disagree.
Wrong.
They're in the early stages of the nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, class of 25.
Yep.
She listed off Steelers that have earned nominations so far. I mean, I don't even think they're down to like any sort of quarterfinal list or anything like that. They still have plenty of time to go. Considering some of the names on here, it does track as well how early on they are. So you have Hines Ward, you have James Harrison, some guys that do have some legitimate argument to make it one day. Gary Anderson on this list. A couple of fan favorites, Casey Hampton, James Ferrier, and then Mike Vrabel. Why would he be, I mean, I know he played for the Steelers, but would he not be more a Patriot when it comes to if the guy ever got in? There's no way he would go in and people would think of him as a Steeler.
Yes, but I think anyone who donned black and gold here gets like lumped in as a former Steeler who's up for Canton.
Yeah, I get that. But and like nobody will ever remember his playing days
right.
as predominantly here.
10 years from now, I'm guessing that's going to happen with Russell Wilson, or 7 or 8 years from now, whenever he's done. Maybe it's 5 if this is his last season.
Will the Patriots do it for Antonio Brown?
Could also for James Harrison. Like, do we think their people are listing James Harrison?
How about the Raiders? For Antonio
no,
Brown.
No, I don't think they can because he didn't play a game. I thought about them, but he never played. Who's the funniest really good, like, LeGarrette Blount? Melvin Ingram.
LeGarrette Blount.
The Steelers don't have, I mean, they did a lot, like, in their pre-Noel era, 50s and 60s, where they'd get these has-beens. They don't really have a lot of guys who are Hall of Fame players or borderline Hall of Fame players who had a late season, a late stage career cup of coffee with the Steelers.
Actually,
Patrick
I have a
Peterson.
Good one. Yep, that too.
Yeah, my co-host.
Yes.
My podcast
partner. As soon as
partner.
He started saying it, Donnie. Great
that's
minds.
Who I immediately thought
but
of.
They don't have
Wrong.
A lot of them. They don't have a ton of them.
No, they prided themselves for a long time. They'd be the team that drafted a guy, got the best out of the guy, correctly identified the guys who deserved a second contract, and then when a guy would leave here, he would almost never be as good as
so,
he was here.
I don't have this complete list. Do you have access to the entire list of Hall of Fame
I'll
finalists?
Try to find it.
Because you know who is much like Vrabel in as far as guy that has not a Hall of Fame career, started with the Steelers, was good here, got better after he left, and is Hall of Very Good, not Hall of Fame in Canton? Hardy Nickerson.
Good pick.
Hardy Nickerson was like...
He was a monster for Tampa.
Was a very, very good player. Never comes up when we talk about like guys who left or Steelers maybe making a mistake and letting the guy go.
He had all of his all-pro nods with the Bucks.
Hardy Nickerson was a tremendous player.
Okay, so the list right now has 167 players. Now it is broken down by position.
So is Hardy Nickerson listed as a linebacker on the list? Because if he is, then he should be in the article that Jenna Harner or your Jerry Dulax or 93.7thefan.com put out, because he is technically a former Steeler.
No.
He's getting then... I mean, how does Hardy Nickerson not even make a list of, like, 170 Hall of Fame eligible players?
Two first-team All-Pros, two second-team All-Pros. All of his Pro Bowls, I would say, came in the era where guys still cared about being in the Pro Bowl.
That's a nice little player.
Five Pro Bowl nods. His first year in Tampa after he left the Steelers when free agency hit in 92, before the 93 season, he was the sixth vote-getter for defensive player of the year.
Do you want me to go through the linebackers? You guys can just...
Sure.
Think off the top of your head if he's a better player?
Well, before you do that, yes. The answer to your question, yes. I'm going to do one more here along these same lines. And people that are more our age and Donnie's age will say I'm wrong. But people that are more Donnie's dad's age, I think will say I'm right.
Wrong.
Lavon Kirkland's a better player than James Ferrier. And I love Ferrier. And Ferrier was very good on teams that got the job done. Kirkland overall, though.
My dad loved Kirkland.
Better player. In Kirkland's era, he might have been, I don't know, the second or third or fourth best linebacker.
I'm pretty sure he's on the all-90s team, is he not?
I think Ferrier was better.
You're going to say that because
you're damn near 300
because
pounds.
That's more our prime of watching.
Lavon is a friend of the show. He has come on. He has dispensed his wisdom. He was extremely unique and for how big he was and how well he moved. But I think Ferrier was a better football player.
But this is not based in any, like, is this a resume point or is this just Malzi's eye test that he's
so Ferrier, one first team All-Pro, one second team All-Pro. His best year resulted in him being second in the Defensive Player of the Year. Kirkland's best was third in Defensive Player of the Year. Number of Pro Bowls, two for Kirkland. Ferrier had two. Tie goes to the runner, in this case, the guy that was part of multiple Super Bowl champions. And all those guys on those teams will tell you he was the absolute leader of that defense, vocally and otherwise. He also is probably the best free agent signing in team history, or one of them.
Yes.
I don't disagree with that. That should have no bearing on how we rank the player all time, is how they acquired
the guy. I mean, Ferrier played for the Steelers for a decade and racked up 30 sacks at a position that's not supposed to get a lot of sacks. Picked off 8 passes, forced 12 fumbles. Like, these are extremely impressive numbers, in my opinion, and was
Kirkland, Kirkland, who's built more like Casey Hampton, had 11 interceptions with the Steelers.
You're falling victim to Kirkland was built in an unusual way for the position, and the fact that he was very good is causing you to elevate him over a guy that was ultimately better than him. Not by much. Matters of degree, but better.
You are saying he was better because he finished closer to the Defensive Player of the Year in 1 year.
He had more counting stats, too.
What counting stats?
More sacks. By a lot.
Sacks? Their position's not defined by sacks.
So isn't it even more impressive that at one not defined by sacks, he still had 12 more of them?
Do you think that when we're grading whether or not a quarterback should go into the Hall of Fame, like that, I don't know, some kind of obscure rushing number should break the tie? It's a passing position.
No, I think we should gauge it on rushing. Just like we should gauge punters on how many completed passes they have. That's why Tom Tupa should be in the Hall of Fame.
Anyways, I just think he was a bit better of a player. List,
I do have the other linebackers, yes. This goes in alphabetical order. So I guess you can just determine if Hardy Nickerson is better or maybe if Ferrier
is better. Do you think Hardy Nickerson was better than James Ferrier, Malzi?
Not with the Steelers, no.
Well, I'm not asking you that now. I'm saying for the Hall of Fame.
Overall player, yeah.
He's not even a finalist here.
Yeah, well, I think they got that one wrong. He's getting jumped. I'm going to say better Steelers linebacker, and I'm going to put out Lavon Kirkland.
Ferrier will blow him out because, again, it's social media, so it's geared more towards this era. If you put out better quarterback Ben Roethlisberger or Terry Bradshaw, Ben would beat...
I don't think he would, actually. I think
we've
done this. Would
beat Bradshaw's ass.
I think we've done this, and it hasn't gone that way.
Here we go. Jesse Armstead.
Yes.
We're saying better than?
Nickerson was better than Armstead.
Okay.
This next guy, I don't even remember him being all that good. Brendan Iombadejo.
No, Hardy Nickerson was better.
I think that's maybe a special teamer.
Had to be a special teamer.
List him as a linebacker. Yeah. I know I'm trying to shoot the messenger here. I shouldn't.
Cornelius Bennett.
He was pretty good.
No.
Lance Briggs.
No.
You're saying Briggs was better?
I'm saying he wasn't.
Wait, so you're saying...
Was
Cornelius Bennett better or worse than Hardy Nickerson?
Just say the name. Just say which name you think is
better. That's easier to do.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Keith Brooking.
Nickerson.
Navarro Bowman.
Bowman. Nickerson. Really?
Oh, Bowman was disrupted.
Well, that's because Malzi loves Penn State.
It's legitimate. It's length of career longevity, though. He tore up his knees so many times. That's a tough one.
That is a tough one. Maybe I sold my boy Bowman short, but again, you're right. He got injured so fast.
He got injured a lot, but his best was terrific.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Teddy Bruschi.
Oh, my God. I'm going to just say no. I'm going to say...
Spitefully, I'm going to say Nickerson was better. I hated Brewski.
I can't stand Brewski.
I despised him.
I
still do, actually.
I want to say that Patrick Queen's better than Teddy Brewski. I cannot stand Teddy Brewski.
I want to say that Devin Bush is better than Teddy Brewski.
Hold on a second.
I hate his guts.
Now that we're on the we don't have to go through the rest of the names, because now I want to make this about my hatred towards Teddy
Brewski.
Let's
do it. Yes.
I hated,
yes.
The thing I hated about Teddy Brewski, we get it. The guy came back from a stroke that he almost died.
It's inspirational.
Inspirational and
comeback
else.
Player of the year. He got his award
but
for it.
But what I could not stand about watching Patriots games for a decade was that every announcer would just slobber all over themselves talking about these intangible qualities in Teddy Brewski that drove me nuts.
He was the Mike Richards of linebackers. Remember, you'd hear people talk about Mike Richards' intangibles, what a leader he is for the Flyers.
He'd have the most, like, ho-hum tackle.
Oh, and that Brewski.
And the analysts would just, like, fall over themselves. I don't know if you might be too young for this, Donnie, but it was just like... It was painful.
It was like he was a personal friend of the analysts, and they wanted to make sure they...
Oh, my God.
Honestly, it was like in wrestling, Donnie, when the announcers are clearly trying to get one of the guys in the ring over.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounded like they were doing for Brewski.
Teddy Brewski.
There is a guy on this list who I feel like should have been in years ago.
Okay, let me hear it.
London Fletcher.
You love London Fletcher.
He had a fantastic career.
You've always been a big London Fletcher
guy. Look at his numbers. He like got,
Werewolves
he, got
of London
he got like
Fletcher.
Zero accolades despite being one of the most consistent linebackers of his era.
You want to hear my take on him? You're not going to like it, clearly. London Fletcher to me is the Frank Gore linebackers.
Just longevity freak.
I thought he was always solid. Never thought he was great, but he played a long ass time.
Donnie, I am going to make you even madder. I actually agree with Pony here.
Let's go.
Wrong. I'm right.
I disagree.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.